Jack fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to Season 2 of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries. One is no there and two here.
Molly? You okay?
I'm fine. I'm just frustrated that I can't decode the POG message we intercepted at the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, that. So that's what those random words were?
Yes. Can you make any sense of it?
What were they again?
One is no there and two here.
Got it. One is no there and two here. Ahem. Here, two, and there, no, is one?
All you did was say it backwards.
Hey, it was worth a shot.
Part of the problem is there are so many possible ways to reorder the words.
Really? How many could there be? There's only one, two, three, seven words in the message.
Which works out to 5,040 unique permutations.
Whoa! No way! Wait, what's a permutation?
A permutation is a fancy math word for how a set of numbers or things is ordered. For our set of seven words, we're dealing with permutations without repetition.
Gotcha! And what does without repetition mean?
It means since we're decoding a written message, it's likely none of the words would repeat. If the words did repeat, we'd really be in trouble. Oof! I'm talking 823,543 possible permutations.
Yikes! And I thought 5,040 permutations was bad. These power-hungry POGs aren't playing.
Nope, they are not.
So how do you calculate all these permutations anyway?
The formula for permutations without repetition is n factorial divided by the factorial of n minus r.
Translation, please?
N is the number of items in the set. In this case, seven words. R is the number of items you choose from the set. Since we're decoding all seven words, that means R will also equal 7.
And what's a factorial again?
A factorial is when you multiply a non-negative number by all the numbers less than it. For instance, 3 factorial is 3 times 2 times 1.
Which equals 6. Hey, that's easy.
Right. Except the higher you go, the harder it gets.
Ah, makes sense.
When we plug in our values to the permutation formula, we get p equals 7 factorial divided by 7 minus 7 factorial, which reduces to 7 factorial divided by 0 factorial.
0 factorial? Doesn't that equal 0? I thought you couldn't divide by 0.
You're right. You can't divide by 0, but 0 factorial doesn't equal 0. It equals 1.
Huh? How does that work? You said a factorial is when you multiply a positive number by all the numbers less than it. 0 is not a positive number and has no positive numbers less than it.
I didn't say positive number. I said a factorial is when you multiply a non-negative number by all the numbers less than it.
Okay, but there are still no non-negative numbers less than 0. So how can nothing be multiplied by nothing be something?
Exactly.
Exactly? Molly, are you trolling me?
No. Look, to calculate a factorial...
You do descending multiplication. That part I get.
But the definition of a factorial is the number of ways you can arrange the items in a set.
In this case, are 7 words.
But if we had 0 words in the message, the only way to arrange them is to not arrange them. Which still counts as an arrangement.
So when it comes to factorials, nothing actually does equal something.
Uh-huh. Crazy, right?
Bonkers.
Anyway. Turning back to our formula, we have 7 factorial divided by 0 factorial, which is the same as 7 factorial divided by 1.
Which equals 7 factorial.
Exactly. So do the math. 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. 5,040 permutations.
I hate to bring this up now, but... Remember when I dropped and broke one of the light bulbs that had a word written on it?
That's right, I forgot. So the number of permutations is actually 8 factorial. But since we know 7 factorial equals 5,040, All we have to do is multiply 5,040 times 8. Come on, Max. This one's all you.
Okay. 8 times 5,000 is 40,000. Plus 8 times 40, which is 320. 40,000 plus 320 equals 40,320 permutations.
Nice job. Of course, we don't know what the 8th word is.
I'm such a butterfingers.
Don't beat yourself up, Max. It could happen to anyone. If only we had a clue that could help us start.
Wait, we do.
We do?
Yes, we do. The other message we intercepted, the one in the Great Pyramid of Giza. What if they're connected?
That's brilliant, Max. Okay, here's the pyramid message. If a tree falls in the forest...
If a tree falls in the forest... Forest, the in falls tree AF.
Oh boy, here we go again.
Why does that sound familiar? Wait, I've got it!
You do?
What's the sound of one hand clapping?
Can one hand actually clap? More like flap than clap. I guess it makes a really soft sound.
The answer isn't important. What is important is that the question is a koan.
What's a koan?
It's like a riddle used in Zen Buddhism to inspire enlightenment. I was reading about them in a pocket history of Buddhism. The point is, I think the Pog message is a famous koan.
Really? That's strange.
Here, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it...
One is no there and to hear. All of the words are there except it. That must have been written on the bulb you dropped. Max, you're on fire.
But wait, there's more. Well, more to the koan. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound?
Maybe. Maybe it makes the sound of one hand clapping?
Right. Wow, these pogs really are something. But what could they be using a Buddhist koan for?
Just another question we can't answer yet.
Right. Say, what's this written on my bookmark? The print is so tiny.
Well, it just so happens I have a magnifying glass.
You do?
Well, we're practically detectives, so yeah. Let's see. Ah, I should have known. It's a message from Aunt Em.
Of course. Who else would communicate with us via bookmark?
It says she believes a pog mole has infiltrated the court of King Henri II of France.
Awesome! Maybe we'll get to meet Nostradamus.
Who's Nostradamus?
Who's Nostradamus? Why, he was a French doctor from the 16th century who claimed he could see the future through visions. He wrote down his predictions in various books and almanacs. He became so popular, the king's wife, Catherine de' Medici, made him a family counselor and physician.
Oh, wow. Were any of his predictions right?
Depends on who you ask. Modern believers think Nostradamus predicted the French Revolution and the invention of the atomic bomb. But most people think his predictions were too general or cryptic to really be predictions.
I see.
What are the time codes?
Paris, France, 1556.
All right. Bon voyage.
Wait, there's a warning from Aunt Em.
Max and Molly, this is strictly a reconnaissance mission. You are to gather information only. Do not, under any circumstances, engage the pog mole.
10-4, recon only. Over and out. Ah, I love France. Especially the French fries.
Your tummy can wait. First, we need to find the pog mole.
My tummy says otherwise. So, how do we find this pog mole?
I was going to ask you the same question.
Well, Aunt Murgatroyd said the mole infiltrated King Henri's court. So, it's likely a member of nobility.
Or someone posing as a member of nobility.
Good point.
But how can we tell who's phony and who isn't? Palace courts are notoriously full of intrigue and double crosses.
We need someone on the inside we can trust. Ooh, I got an idea. Come on.
Max, do you think loitering outside the palace is the best idea?
We're not loitering. We're waiting for Nostradamus to come to work.
And then what?
We make a prediction to gain his trust.
And how do we do that?
Simple. Once he arrives, we take note of what's going on around us. Then, using the time radio, we travel back to this exact moment and wow him with our sudden prediction. Come on, that's good stuff, Molly. Admit it.
It's definitely clever. You think doing that will get him to help us?
How can it not? Wait, here he comes. Listen.
Church bells ringing.
That horse reared back and neighed.
Three crows flew overhead.
Look, it's the great Nostradamus. And he's eating an apple.
Yuck. Blech. There's a worm in my apple.
You'd think he could have predicted that.
Come on, that's perfect. We can use that. I just need to reset the time codes. Bro, I'm so hungry. I'd eat a wormy apple.
Gross. Let's go. All right, we're right back in front of the palace 5 minutes ago. Nostradamus should be arriving any second.
There he is. Ready?
Ready.
Bonjour, Nostradamus. I'm Max.
And I'm Molly.
Any chance you could give two fellow prognosticators a helping hand?
I'd do anything for a fellow prognosticator. But how do I know you two can actually see the future?
Well, for one thing, the church bells will chime in 3, 2, 1.
You call that a prediction? It's 2 o'clock. The church bells chime every hour.
That horse will rear back and neigh.
Better, but still, that could be mere coincidence.
Three crows will fly over and caw.
You're good, I'll give you that. But crows always do that. Sorry, I need more.
Okay, what if I told you there's a worm in your apple?
A worm in my apple? Why, that's the silliest prediction I ever... A sacre bleu! A worm.
Believe us now?
Indeed. Hurry to my chambers where we can discuss your problem. I see. So you're looking for an imposter in the king's court.
Have you noticed anything suspicious lately?
Indeed. A member of a new family that seemed to sprout out of nowhere. They become the talk of the court by throwing in lavish parties.
What's the name of this new family?
Avogadro.
Did you say Avogadro?
Why, yes.
As in, Mr. Avogadro? Our new English teacher?
OMG. What if he's a mole in a long line of moles?
What do you think this new member of the court wants?
I'm not sure, but he has been keen to get to know me. A little too keen. He's constantly asking about my prediction methods and even offered to be my assistant. The other day, I found him outside my dwelling. He has said he was there to invite me to a party he's throwing in my honor. He had said he had a special gift for me.
A party, huh?
A special gift?
I could put you on the guest list if you'd like to come.
Will there be food?
Of course. The best in all of Paris.
Thank you, but we can't attend.
What? Why not? There'll be food, and we can spy on Avogadro.
My problem-solver sense is telling me the party is just a ruse to get Nostradamus out of his home so Avogadro can break in. We need to do a stakeout.
Ooh, steak. With a side of french fries. Even better.
Not a steak. A stakeout. We'll secretly watch Nostradamus' house during the party to catch Avogadro breaking in.
Gotcha. I predict lots of tummy rumbling. That's the 14th tummy rumble this hour. Come on, it's after 2 a.m. and Avogadro is a no-show. Can't we go to the party? Maybe they have a dessert buffet.
You think the party's still going?
Nostradamus hasn't come home yet. I don't think I've ever gone this long without eating.
It hasn't been that long.
Sure it has. When did we arrive in Paris?
The church bells rang at 2 p.m., remember? So, around 1:30.
And now it's 2:07 a.m. If we jump from 1:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., that's 12 hours. then add 37 minutes to get 2:07 a.m. That's 12 hours and 37 minutes since I've last eaten. That's a new max record.
Don't forget the 5 minutes we jump back in time in order to make our predictions to Nostradamus.
You're making it worse. 12 hours and 37 minutes plus 5 minutes equals 12 hours and 42 minutes. That's way too long for a growing boy.
Oh, you'll have to go a little longer. Someone's coming.
Wow, that guy even looks like Mr. Avogadro, our teacher.
Look, he's picking the lock to Nostradamus' apartment.
What are we waiting for? Let's stop him.
We can't, remember? Aunt Em said not to engage.
So, we're just gonna let him break in?
Shh! Quiet! He'll hear you! Okay, he's coming out. What does he have? Papers?
This is crazy! We have to do something!
Yikes! Max! He hurt your stomach!
I couldn't help it!
He's looking around. Whew, he's gone. That was close.
Look! He dropped something! I think my stomach distracted him. Come on! It's one of Nostradamus' papers, but it's written in French.
I bet Aunt Em can translate it. Let's get back to Oshkosh, quick. This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Dan Gold and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Sheila Morris, and Taya Garland. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Kolber and is an Atomic Audio production.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICANN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN. Poetry, story time, and music for kids.